Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hustler Turf Equipment, most complete lineup of residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers in the industry. Over 1,000 dealers in the nation. Go buy a lawnmower from them, you're talking to experts. Hustler Turf. Go to HustlerTurf.com, HustlerTurf.com. Wade Phillips has been the head coach of the Cowboys, Broncos, and Bills. Three out of four other teams, he was the interim coach. And he had really a unique career in which he coached, think about this as a defensive coordinator. He coached Reggie White, Aaron Donald, Bruce Smith, J.J. Watt, Von Miller. I mean, honestly, it's like five of the best defensive linemen ever. He coached all of them. And Wade Phillips from Houston is joining us live. So you coached J.J. for about 3 years. Did you know instantly, Wade, that it was it a practice and you went, oh Lord, he's great? Or did he develop into great?
It was pretty quick. Everybody knew he was really, he was good, but when we drafted him, they booed him, you know, because they didn't know who he was, because we took him in the first round. And then some people were saying he was a bust or might be a bust. And after a few games, they asked me about it, and I said, hey, he's going to be a bust, all right, but it's going to be a bust in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, well, at the end of his first season, he was so tremendous. In fact, he had an interception like you saw on the screen there in the playoff game against Cincinnati that won the game that for a touchdown. So he's a great player.
Now, not all great players are great leaders or locker room guys. What will he bring to Arizona beyond just plays?
Oh, he's a tremendous person. He's got a tremendous drive to not only be successful himself, but he holds everybody to the high standard, you know, and the highest of standards, really, as far as work and not just athletic skills, but his work. Don't leave DeMarcus Ware out of that group either. So I don't want to slide him either.
He was pretty good.
Quite a few more that are in the Hall of Fame that I've coached too. So
yeah,
I was lucky to be around a lot of great players.
Now you were with the Rams, and they have moved off Goff, and they have Matt Stafford, and you face Sean McVay's offense every day at practice. And you face Matt Stafford for years. How do you think Stafford fits into McVay's system?
I think he'll fit really well. I did some film or video work on him this season, and he still is a tremendous quarterback, in my opinion. We looked at him quite a bit, and, you know, the people I was around that study it still think he's still an elite type quarterback. So, he's going to do real well.
If McVay's offense, is it complicated, Wade? Is it hard to pick up?
Yes.
It is.
Very much so, yeah. So, but they've got a passing game coordinator there now that I think is going to make it really easy for the transition to a new quarterback.
Yeah,
I think his name is Wes Phillips. Yeah, I think he's a real good one.
All right, there you go. So, Deshaun, you're in Houston, and Deshaun Watson, it's gotten to a point where, like, he just said, I'm not going to wear that uniform again. And, you know, we've had this discussion. We've gone back and forth, and we've said when you've got a star player and he wants out, you'd rather trade him before it goes public, so not the whole league knows, and you may get a better deal. Once it goes public, you know, and everybody knows a guy wants out, you could lose leverage. If you my takeaway on this, Wade, has been, listen, the longer you wait, if you wait through free agency, three or four teams may get a quarterback, and then the list of teams that need a quarterback small, you may not get as many picks back. What would you do if you ran the Houston Texans today with Deshaun?
Yeah, you're right on that analysis, but he's such a good player. It's hard, it's hard to believe they'd lose too much. And as far as waiting a little bit, but I think you have to trade him before the draft, obviously, to get those high draft picks. So, you know, I just feel bad for a new head coach going in, and J.J. Watt leaves, and the quarterback comes in, and you talk to him, and he says, I'm not playing for you." So it's a really tough situation there, I think.
Well, and also there's a culture issue. The players view the culture with the Texans and Cal McNair as a problem, Wade. Whether that's fair or not, that's how the players view it, that there's a cultural problem. Take us through that. Do you sense it living in Houston? What do you hear? What do you read?
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of the Rams, I mean, that's one great thing that I think Sean McVay, I know he gets a lot of credit for what he does offensively, but culture-wise, he's done a great job there of bringing in a winning culture with a team that hadn't won at all in a long, long time.
Yeah.
So it is important. In fact, Sean is kind of John Wooden-ish. I mean, he does a great job with that. So you can see culture really makes a difference in a team. You know, I talked to JJ a little bit, but I don't know what went on behind the scenes and so forth here. But yeah, you know, everybody wanting to get out and sometimes it's the organization, you know, what direction they're going, whether they're trying to rebuild or whether they're trying to, you know, trying to win a championship the next year. So you don't know all those things.
Well, it's interesting. You coached Cowboys, Broncos, Bills. Right now, the Bills are rolling. You got a good owner, a good GM, and a good coach. Broncos have some talent, but they don't have the quarterback quite right yet. Dallas, you know, listen, it's a huge brand. Dak's a franchise quarterback. He probably wants a little more than they want to pay. When you were with Jerry, the Jerry you see today, is that the Jerry you had? Or do you think he is a little less of a meddler and he's... he's giving more responsibility up? Or when you were with Jerry, you know, Jimmy Johnson obviously had his issues with him, you know. And him, I thought, always got along. Is Jerry changing, or is Jerry today from when you were there?
I think he's pretty much the same. I mean, it's such a different, you know, situation than that the owner is a general manager. So he's been the general manager the whole time. So I think that's the different part of it. The good part of it is you deal with the owner every day, not just you don't have to go through the general manager to get to the owner to try to get things done. So some ways it's good.
Are you surprised Dak hasn't signed already?
I never know on those things. I mean, agents and teams and negotiations, you know, I just try to, as a coach, even when I was more a vice president of football operations, I still tried to stay out of the negotiations and not worry about it all the time. Because you worry about it all the time, it's going to be a worrisome deal, and that's somebody else's job to worry.
You know, Wade, you've been a defensive coordinator for so long in the NFL, and I look at some of the rules and how they're changing now. And, you know, when you started in the league, if a quarterback ran, it was almost a criticism that he's going to get hurt. You know, you got to stay disciplined in the pocket. And now I look at pocket guys and I think, oh, boy, I hope he can move a little bit. I hope I can move the pocket. What did you find in the last 7-8 years of your career being a defensive coordinator? Was it harder to be a coordinator because the athlete's now playing the quarterback? The rules now are very much leaning toward offense, Wade. Did you find it harder to be a defensive coach your last 7-8 years in the NFL?
Well, I think it always has been. You know, rules-wise, certainly they're always pointing that way. But I think it's been that way for a long time. People want to see the offense and people scoring points. So they've got to at least go that direction as much as they can.
Yeah.
Now, you talk about quarterbacks getting hurt. I mean, Dak ran a quarterback draw. He got hurt. Lamar Jackson got hurt in the playoffs. I mean, you know, I still think they can get hurt, you know, and even Cam, you know, I think it hurt his career getting injuries. You know, he was at the MVP level. So it's still dangerous, I think, for your quarterback to run very much.
Who was the best quarterback you ever faced that gave you the most trouble, that you struggled to figure out a blueprint to stop?
let's see, not Otto Graham. He was really good. But it's hard to pick one. I mean, you know, I played against all the great ones, or coached against all the great ones, so it's hard to pick one. I know we played a playoff game in Buffalo, and we played Marino, and he threw it 66 times. And, that's a nightmare. I mean, you know, to have one of those guys – now, we beat him pretty good in the ball game, but still, that's scary to have a guy that can throw it like that, throw it that many times.
Wade Phillips, you look happy. You're in Houston. Hopefully you got through that awful 2-3 week stretch of weather where you just told me between the break it was 5 degrees in Houston, which I never thought I would see in my life, that Houston would be 5 degrees. So it's great. You look great and you look happy, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
You bet. I always enjoy it with you. You do a great job. You're the best.
Oh, thank you so much. Wade Phillips, who's been around a long time. Now, think about that. He'd coached Reggie White, Bruce Smith, DeMarcus Ware, J.J. Watt, Von Miller, and Aaron Donald. You know, Reggie White's one of the only, in like the history of football, there's maybe only two or three players that looked different. Jim Brown is a running back. He was literally the size of a defensive lineman, and he was a running back. You go look at the tapes, it looks silly. Reggie White, there's two or three plays with Reggie White. Aaron Donald looks like this too. Lawrence Taylor looked like this.
I think Eric Dickerson probably too.
Eric Dickerson? He looked like he was 6'7". When Reggie White, there are plays in which you can go YouTube them where Reggie White, remember these are offensive linemen, grabbed 300-pound men and would throw them in the backfield. Reggie White and Lawrence Taylor didn't look like, and Jim Brown. Like, by the way, Aaron Donald's great, but now everybody's big. So, and it's not like Aaron's 6'7". Like, Aaron's
just so fast.
He's
so big.
But Reggie White was, honestly, Lawrence Taylor and Reggie White were unblockable. And Aaron's the closest we have had since then.
Jonathan Ogden was pretty impressive, too. I remember the first time I met him.
In person.
Yeah, I was just like, I was just staring at him. He was laughing at me. I was like, I'm sorry. I can't believe that someone would sign up to line up across from you and try to do anything physically against you.
I think he was 6'7 and a half, 340 or something.
He's just an unbelievable athlete.
We once a year on this show, we show the Jonathan Ogden high school picture.
It's my favorite picture. It's one of my favorite sports pictures. It's incredible. If you haven't seen it, go Google it. And then put into your mind that someone in their brain thought it was a good idea to put their hand in the dirt and try and move him.
Jonathan Ogden got stronger, obviously, from high school to college to the NFL. Mm-hmm. When you see the picture of Jonathan Ogden in high school and a little boy lined up across from him. A 5'9", 175-pound...
A child.
Child lined up against Jonathan Ogden, who was the same size as the house in the back of the photo. There's a house in the back of the photo. You're like...
It's one of my favorite sports pictures. It's amazing. It is amazing.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So J.J. Watt has agreed to a 2-year, $31 million deal with the Arizona Cardinals. It includes $23 million guaranteed, and it will reunite him with former Texans teammate DeAndre Hopkins. The Cardinals' odds of winning the Super Bowl also improved with the announcement.
Oh, they did.
According to Fox Bet, they moved from plus 4,500 to plus 3,500.
Whoa!
But that's still just 17th best in
Yeah, but that feels like something.
It's something.
Chandler Jones is still in the Cardinals, right?
Chandler Jones posted a DM to J.J. Watt from back in February as the news just dropped. He said, if you come here, I'll be your personal chef. Monday and Wednesdays are free. So he tagged J.J. Watt and said, what did you want to eat?
Listen, this is not a complicated deal. Steve Keim, the GM, said Stafford, Garoppolo, McVay, Russell Wilson, Shanahan, I got to get pass rushers.
And look, the Cardinals had some frustrating losses last year, but they were still an 8-8 football team. So it's not like they're far off. Yes, it's a very tough division. Kind of want to see a little bit more from Kyler Murray, but they have DeAndre Hopkins, they have Christian Kirk, they have Chandler Jones. Now they have J.J. Watt. Get a couple upgrades on offensive line. To your point, maybe try and get a tight end. Like, I don't hate the Cardinals going into next year. There's a lot that can happen, and they're a developing team. I don't know that this move makes them a Super Bowl contender, but it certainly makes them better. And you've got Stafford and Jimmy Garoppolo and Russell Wilson. Yeah. Well, for now,
listen,
in your division.
Aggressive wins. They went.
Yes.
They got rid of a coach after a year. They got rid of a quarterback after a year. They went and got DeAndre Hopkins. And they went and got J.J. Watt. Say what you want. They are super aggressive.
And they're a really fun team to watch.
Yeah.
Which, look, that's not the goal. Obviously, the goal is to win and to win Super Bowls. But
good for them. Yeah. Arizona's interesting.
Very interesting and very relevant. So let's talk about the Chicago Bears.
This story is so sad.
They are obviously uncertain at quarterback because it's the Chicago Bears. Mitchell Trubisky is set to be a free agent and is likely on his way out of Chicago. They've also been connected to some trade rumors this offseason, but they haven't landed any of the top targets. They still have Nick Foles on the roster, and he reportedly remains a real option to be the team starter in 2021.
Come on, give me a break.
He was 2-5 as a starter last year, 64.7 completion percentage, 10 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
Great kid, but come on. What do you tell me?
We talked about that. Nice is great. Nice is wonderful.
He's a great
kid. You want a nice husband. You want a nice wife.
My dogs are nice.
You'd like for your kids to be nice. But you want your quarterback to be mostly nice. Actually, just moderately nice and like mostly great.
Listen, in Chicago, they put him in for Trubisky. They wanted him to finish the year, and then they had to go back Trubisky.
Well, he also has 2 years left on a 3-year, $24 million deal. He's owed $6.7 million next season, and he has a dead cap hit of $10.3 million if the Bears cut him. So that also could be playing a role, because if Trubisky's gone and they don't land one of these other free agents, what are you going to do with quarterback?
Well, I mean, they draft 20th, so they're not getting a quarterback in the draft. So, and there's not really Mac Jones maybe, but there's not a second tier of quarterbacks people like.
Well,
there's like 4 great ones in Mac Jones.
Russell Wilson has put you on his list. You may want to, make some calls. Just saying. The Jets haven't decided what they're doing with Sam Darnold yet. But one teammate is hoping they keep him in New York next season. Running back LaMichael Perine said, no disrespect to any of the other quarterbacks that's in the draft, but I actually had a chance to play with Sam and was able to be in the backfield with him, so I know what he brings to the team. He's a great leader. We've just got to put good weapons around him, and he can very well succeed and be one of the top quarterbacks in this league. I hope he's on our team this year as being my starting quarterback. You know, I talked to some Jets fans yesterday. They'd like to keep Sam Darnold. I don't necessarily know that everyone is out on him.
Oh, I think there's a lot of GMs. You know what I think Sam is? Because people know I like him, there's been a lot of executives. They'll tweak me.
Oh, yeah. You are a Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield guy.
So he is the second choice. Like, Indy liked him, but he's kind of the second guy. And San Francisco likes him, but they're probably the second guy. Because everybody is worried that what's happened to him in the NFL happened to him in college. He's a little reckless, meaning he gets whacked a lot, which I'm not going to deny, and he kind of throws about once every Sunday. He lets go of a football, and for the love of God, you just can't figure it out. So
feels like he's a little polished.
Exactly. And so the key is going to be the quarterback coach.
He's getting grace in that Adam Gase is no longer there.
Hey, listen. You know what helps him? Ryan Tannehill has really given Sam Darnold a second shot, because Tannehill's been terrific post-Gase.
Yes.
So if Tannehill goes to Tennessee and stinks, a lot of people are going to go, it ain't Gase. Tannehill's emergence is literally changing the whole narrative on Adam Gase.
I don't know how it... My only hesitation is if it doesn't work with Sam Darnold, if they run it back this year.
The next year's it's an interesting question, Joy. So the Jets are one of the only NFL teams that have a need everywhere except safety. They have a need at every unit. but they've already got two first, two thirds, and a second. If you move the Zach Wilson, and let's say you get three firsts in later years, and you get a second this year. So you would have two firsts, two seconds, two thirds. That's six players. Joe Douglas, the GM's a good, he's a really good personnel guy. You're going to get four starters out of that. And you have cap space. So the starters you could get and that could immediately help Sam, a running back, a corner and running back, or you can plug and play those positions. And a tight end,
yeah,
maybe. So the way I look at it is, if the Jets go, if they really get him a running back and a tight end piece, he would absolutely improve. The question becomes at the end of the year, does he improve enough? Because
he's not a rookie. You got to sign him eventually.
Yeah.
So the money increases, right? Because he's reaching that point where he needs to get paid. We're going to extend him.
But here's the thing, Joey. You don't want to give him six new players. So you don't want to say, hey, we got your tight end, a receiver, this. You don't. Because what you want to do is you want to get Sam another running back. That's a position you can come in and learn quickly. And I think you want to get him a middle-of-the-field target somewhere. Because they had a rookie receiver last year. And then maybe if you, Robert Saleh is a defensive coach, if you go the rest of the draft on defense, Sam doesn't have to win by shootout. Because that's the problem with Sam. If you ask Sam to throw 39 times, Joy, you're getting two picks.
And we talk about the division all the time. If the Dolphins come back with Tua, I mean, you look around the division, do you have the second best quarterback in the division with Sam Darnold?
Because
we don't know what they're doing with the Patriots.
Certainly argue it. I would say yes.
Yeah.
Joy of the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
To quarterback or not to quarterback, what to do for the 9 to 10, 11 teams out there thinking about moving their guy? We'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Jazz Pelicans, today's Discover Card Key matchup. Discover matches all the cash back you earned into your first year, no limit. Cash back match only by Discover Card. Learn more at discover.com/match. Discover something brighter. Good to have you in. So draft 2 months away, we know that. Free agency's coming up in a few weeks. But there's a bunch of teams out there in terms of quarterbacks, and we play a little game. Do you go get a quarterback, or do you stick with what you have?
To QB or not QB? That is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind of Cowherd.
All right, Joy.
Jacksonville Jaguars, to QB or not to QB?
To QB. They've never had the number one pick in the draft. They haven't had a star quarterback since Mark Brunell. And Urban Meyer has a history of being really good with young quarterbacks. He worked with Alex Smith, Cam Newton in college, Joe Burrow, Tim Tebow. So you got a coach that's really good with young quarterbacks. Dwayne Haskins didn't work in the NFL, but he worked in college. So this is really an ideal fit. You got a great quarterback mentor, and this is the best college quarterback since Andrew Luck.
The Jets to QB or not to QB?
I'll just throw it out there. Not to QB. So you have the second most cap space, and if you trade the number two pick, you're going to get at least a second round pick this year and a couple of firsts. So what does that give you? Two firsts this year, two seconds this year, and two thirds. That's probably four starters and two noteworthy backups. You know, and you know, I look at it, Joy brought up a good point. Outside of Josh Allen, could he end up being the second best quarterback in your division? Right now, he's certainly the second most talented quarterback in his athletic prime, yes.
The Dolphins to QB or not to QB?
I would say to QB. At this point, I know it's early. I'm not saying you couldn't move Ryan Fitzpatrick. He always gets a job. But you go with Tua and you have another kid I mean, listen, they're one of three teams. They have multiple first-round picks. So they can go get a quarterback and go get an offensive lineman and another receiver. So this is a team that's got plenty of picks. And first impressions matter, and I don't see a lot of it with Tua.
The Falcons to QB or not to QB?
I kind of feel strongly about this, not to QB. So Matt Ryan's 35. Matt Ryan's coming off a good year. He's the only quarterback with 4,000-plus passing yards every year the last 9 years. Scoring's not Atlanta's problem. And the new coach, Arthur Smith, rejuvenated Ryan Tannehill's career. So you're gonna draft a quarterback, and then about six games into this year, you're going to be like, well, hell, Matt's playing great. He's 35. Most of us acknowledge I have him as a top 12 quarterback. Their problem is they don't have enough athletes in their defensive front seven. Go get Micah Parsons or go get a defensive player.
The Eagles to QB or not to QB?
I'll go not to QB. So if you draft the quarterback, what you're saying is you wasted last year's second-round pick. You already butchered Carson Wentz. Just give Jalen Hurts 16 starts. And I think it's totally fair you gave him 20. Four last year, 16 this year. And I think it's fair to say he doesn't have it or he does. I saw something. And listen, I never thought he was a great prospect, but he moves well and the world's changing and they come in all shapes and sizes. And so I think you, listen, you give him the year, you'll know by Thanksgiving. And if you know by Thanksgiving, then go out and get another quarterback.
The Detroit Lions to QB or not to QB?
Don't QB. You got Jared Goff. You got first picks. What Jared Goff needs is what the Lions never have, a formidable offensive line. So he's got 4 years remaining on his contract, so why screw him up mentally? He already went into the tank mentally at the end of last year because he didn't feel McVay liked him. He was a number one pick. He's a beautiful thrower of the football. They got Kenny Galladay. He's a beautiful thrower of the football. He's not good in a muddy pocket, so draft well up front and give him time and a little bit. He's also very good when he has a running game and he can throw in play action. Him throwing footballs is not an issue. He needs love. He needs protection. He needs a little bit of a running game.
The Panthers to QB or not to QB?
I would to QB. Listen, the word's out. Matt Rhule's not into him. He's physically limited. Now, the other thing about Teddy Bridgewater, who I like, he had a knee injury in Week 10. And with Teddy, he's a little fragile. I mean, he got hurt in practice years ago, and that set him back. So Teddy's one of those guys, I think, physically there's some limitations on what he can do, and there's concerns that he's not a guy that's going to last 17 games in the NFL, so I'd probably move off it.
The Denver Broncos, to QB or not to QB?
To QB. I'm done with Drew Lock. He's too casual for me. He's not my cup of tea. I do think he's got a good arm, but worst completion percentage in the NFL among starting quarterbacks, 57%. So, I mean, Lord, that ain't close. Like, that ain't it.
The Cowboys, to QB or not to QB?
Listen, if you can get Russell Wilson, go for it. You're not going to get him, probably. So I would just say stay with Dak. Good guy. Try to get in the $32 million a year. If I could swap Russell Wilson, I would do it today. That's not going to happen with Dak. He's beloved by the players. And frankly, right now, this morning, he's the best quarterback in the division.
Easily. The Giants to QB or not to QB?
Give me 8 more starts. I'd say to not QB. Give me 8 more starts with Daniel Jones. Saquon Barkley was out all of last year. I did think they had a very good draft. So let's give Dave Gettleman one more draft. He's a very good athlete. He's got a fumble issue. Jason Garrett told me, we talked about this. He got better at the end of the year on it. He's playing with a little more urgency. He's a little less casual when he plays. Give me 8 more starts and I'll know.
The 49ers to QB or not to QB?
Not to QB. They've won 25% of their games when he doesn't quarterback. Let's get past this thing that he can't play. The kid can play. Now, injuries, nightmare. Draft a quarterback with your number 12 spotter, move up, and then you can move off him for 1 year. But don't have a rookie start in that division.
Vikings to QB or not to QB?
Jesus. Not, I guess.
And the Patriots to QB or not to QB?
Not. Stay with Cam for a year. Defensive players come back. Draft a quarterback. He can watch Cam for a year. All right. Mercedes-AMG, given 110% isn't just possible, it's mandatory. Visit MBUSA.com/AMG and Cremo Barber Shave Cream, close and comfortable. I use Cremo. You get it at CremoCompany.com, C-R-E-M-O. I didn't used to have a thick, a rich, handsome beard. I do now, so these products are all over my house. Every morning, a little Cremo Barber shave products. I shave with it. Look at that. Beautiful. Really handsome and stuff. All right. Joy and I are done for today. See LeVar Arrington over there on Speak for Yourself. We'll see you tomorrow. It's The Herd.